Welcome to Philosophy Unlocked, the podcast that turns complex ideas into exam-ready knowledge. I'm your tutor, and today we're diving deep into one of the most important topics in your WJSE A-level Religious Studies course, ancient philosophical influences, specifically Plato and Aristotle. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final polish before your exam, this episode will give you everything you need. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. These two thinkers, Plato, born around 428 BCE, and his student Aristotle, born in 384 BCE, between them shaped the entire Western philosophical tradition. More importantly for you, they form the bedrock of the philosophy of religion component in your WJE specification. Understanding them isn't just about knowing who they were. It's about grasping two fundamentally different ways of understanding reality, knowledge, and ultimately the divine. That's what examiners are looking for at level 5 and level 6. Let's start with Plato. Plato was a rationalist. He believed that true knowledge comes not from our senses, but from reason alone. This is what philosophers call a priori knowledge, knowledge independent of experience. For Plato, the physical world we see, touch, and hear is not truly real. It's a world of appearances, of shadows and copies. The truly real world is the world of forms, an eternal, unchanging, non-physical realm of perfect archetypes. Now, the most famous illustration of this is the analogy of the cave found in Book 7 of the Republic, written around 380 BCE. Picture this. A group of prisoners have been chained in a cave since birth, facing a stone wall. Behind them burns a fire, and between the fire and the prisoners, people walk carrying objects, puppets, statues, figures. The shadows of these objects are cast onto the wall in front of the prisoners. These shadows are all the prisoners have ever seen. They believe the shadows are reality. Now here's where the philosophy kicks in. Each element of this analogy is a precise metaphysical symbol, and examiners will credit you for decoding every single one. The shadows represent ekaesia, the lowest form of cognition, mere imagination or illusion. This is doxa, opinion, not genuine knowledge. The prisoners represent ordinary people, trapped in a world of appearances, mistaking copies for reality. The fire behind them represents the sun in the physical world. It illuminates the cave, but it is not the source of ultimate truth. The puppeteers carrying the objects represent politicians and sophists, those who manipulate appearances for their own ends. Now, one prisoner is freed. He turns around, sees the fire, is blinded and confused. He's dragged up a steep path. This represents the painful process of philosophical education. He emerges into daylight and at first can only look at shadows and reflections in water. Gradually, he looks at the physical world, then the moon and stars. And finally, he can look directly at the sun. The sun represents the form of the good, the highest form, the source of all truth, reality, and goodness. This is noesis, the highest form of knowledge, what Plato calls episteme. The freed prisoner is the philosopher. And crucially, Plato says the philosopher must return to the cave to guide others, but the prisoners will resist and may even try to kill him. This is widely read as a reference to the execution of Socrates in 399 BCE. So let's be precise about the four levels of cognition Plato describes, because these Greek terms are your ticket to level 5 marks. At the bottom, ekaesia, imagination, shadows, then pistis, belief, the physical world of objects, then dianoia, mathematical and abstract thinking, and at the top, noesis, pure intellectual understanding of the forms. The dividing line between the lower two and the upper two is the line between the world of appearances, the sensible world, and the world of forms, the intelligible world. Now let's move to Aristotle. Aristotle was Plato's most brilliant student, but he fundamentally disagreed with his teacher. Where Plato was a rationalist, Aristotle was an empiricist. He believed knowledge comes through sensory experience. This is a posteriori knowledge. For Aristotle, you cannot separate a form from the physical object it belongs to. There is no separate world of forms floating in some abstract realm. The form of a horse exists in the horse itself, not in some transcendent dimension. Aristotle's most important contribution to our topic is the doctrine of the four causes, his framework for explaining why anything exists or happens. Let's work through them using the example of a marble statue, because this is the example most likely to appear in your exam. The material cause asks, what is it made of? For the statue, the answer is marble. For a human being, it's flesh and bone. The material cause is the physical substance from which something is composed. The formal cause asks, what is its structure or pattern? For the statue, it's the design, the shape of the human figure the sculptor has in mind. For a human being, it's what makes us human rather than animal, our rational nature. The efficient cause asks, what brought it into being? What was the agent of change? For the statue, it's the sculptor, the craftsman who actually carved the marble. For a human being, it's the parents. This is the cause that actually does the work of making something happen. The final cause asks, what is its purpose? What is its telos, its end goal? For the statue, it might be to honor a god or beautify a temple. For a human being, Aristotle argues the telos is eudaimonia, flourishing or happiness. This is the cause Aristotle considers most important because everything in nature has a purpose toward which it strives. Now, here's the critical link to the prime mover. And this is where many candidates lose marks by making a crucial error. Aristotle observed that everything in the universe is in a state of change, of potentiality moving toward actuality. A seed has the potential to become a tree. A cold object has the potential to become hot. But for any change to occur, something must cause it, and that cause must itself have been caused. But this chain cannot go back infinitely. Aristotle argues this leads to an absurd infinite regress. Therefore, there must be a first cause, an unmoved mover, that started the chain of motion without itself being moved. This is the prime mover, and here is the most important thing to understand about it. The prime mover is not an efficient cause. It does not push or create. It is a final cause. It attracts. Everything in the universe strives toward the perfection of the prime mover, just as a student strives toward a perfect grade or a lover is drawn toward the beloved. The prime mover moves the universe by being the object of desire and aspiration. Aristotle describes the prime mover as actus purus, pure act. This means it has no potentiality whatsoever. It is fully and completely actual, perfect, eternal, unchanging. Because it has no potentiality, it cannot change. Because it cannot change, it is eternal. Because it is perfect, it can only contemplate the most perfect thing, which is itself. Aristotle calls this noesis, sousos, thought thinking itself. The prime mover is entirely self-absorbed in its own perfection. Now let's talk exam tips and common mistakes. This is where you can really protect your marks. First, the most common error in the entire topic. Candidates describe the prime mover as a creator, God who made the universe. This is wrong. The prime mover did not create the universe. Aristotle believed the universe was eternal. The prime mover is the cause of motion, not the cause of existence. Do not conflate Aristotle's prime mover with the Judeo-Christian God of Genesis. Second, many candidates describe the analogy of the cave as if it's just a story. It's not. Every element is a precise philosophical symbol. If you write, the prisoners represent people who don't know the truth, you'll get level 2 at best. If you write, the prisoners represent those trapped in the epistemic state of doxa, confined to the world of appearances, you'll get level 5. Third, for AO2 evaluation questions, which carry 60% of your marks, you must engage with the third man argument. This is Aristotle's critique of Plato's forms, and it's a devastating one. If we say that a group of tall men share in the form of tallness, then the form of tallness and the tall men must themselves share in a higher form, a third man. But then that form and the previous group must share in yet another form, and so on, an infinite regress. This suggests Plato's theory of forms is internally incoherent. Fourth, when comparing the prime mover to the Judeo-Christian God, be precise. The prime mover is impassive. It has no emotions, no will, no interest in humanity. It does not answer prayers. It does not intervene in history. It is not omnipotent in the traditional sense. This is a stark contrast with the God of the Bible, who is personal, loving, and interactive. Examiners will credit this comparison explicitly in high-level AO2 responses. Fifth, for Part B essays, use a dialectic structure. Present a rationalist argument, for example, Plato's claim that the forms provide objective moral standards. Then immediately counter with an empiricist critique, Aristotle's argument that forms without physical instantiation are meaningless abstractions. Then adjudicate which position is more coherent and why. This back and forth structure is what distinguishes a level 5 from a level 6 response. Now for your quickfire recall quiz, cover up your notes and try to answer these out loud. Question 1. What does the sun represent in Plato's analogy of the cave? Pause and think. The answer is the form of the good, the highest form, source of all truth and reality. Question 2. What is the Greek term for the lowest level of cognition in Plato's divided line? Pause and think. Akasia, imagination or illusion, the level of shadows. Question 3. Which of Aristotle's four causes does the prime mover represent? Efficient or final? Pause and think. Final cause. The prime mover attracts rather than pushes. Question 4. What does actus purus mean and why does it matter? Pause and think. Pure act. It means the prime mover has no potentiality, is fully actual, and therefore cannot change. This is why it is eternal and necessary. Question 5. What is the third man argument and who proposed it? Pause and think. It's Aristotle's critique of Plato's forms, arguing that forms generate an infinite regress of higher forms, making the theory incoherent. And finally, let's bring it all together. Plato and Aristotle represent two fundamentally different answers to the question, what is real and how do we know it? Plato says reality is the eternal, unchanging world of forms, accessible through reason alone, rationalism. Aristotle says reality is the physical world we experience through our senses, and knowledge comes from observation, empiricism. These two positions echo through the entire history of Western philosophy and theology. For your exam, remember, AO1 is 40%, describe precisely, use Greek terminology, decode every symbol. AO2 is 60%, evaluate dialectically, use the third man argument, compare the prime mover to the Judeo-Christian God, and always reach a sustained, justified conclusion. My top mnemonic for the four causes, MFEF, material, formal, efficient, final, or remember it as making fine, elegant forms. And for Plato's levels of cognition, remember EPDN, eikaisia, pistis, dianoia, noesis, or every philosopher deserves noesis. That's it for today's episode of Philosophy Unlocked. You've covered the cave, the four causes, the prime mover, the third man argument, and the key exam techniques to score at the highest levels. Good luck. You've got this.